Hi, this is a subarctic beekeeper, one of the many. It's mid-January 2023. I haven't been making very many podcasts. I'm busy trying to heal from this head injury and also involved in efforts to support Ukraine. And I'm in my bee barn right now. You can hear that buzzing. The heater just came on. My bee barn is a small building that's severely insulated and it's temperature and humidity controlled. I have it set so that if the temperature in here gets below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, the heat comes on. It's a little space heater. If the temperature goes above 43, which is actually a bit high, then I have a vent that brings cool air in here to bring the temperature down. All this is an effort to keep the metabolism low. It's warm enough for them to move around and keep the queen warm, but it is supposed to make it so that they don't eat a lot. As I say this, I'm watching four bees fly around like it's summertime. The light in here is red because bees don't see red. So for them, it's darkness. For me, I have bees flying around my head. I have two lights in here. They're both red light bulbs. I just stopped sweeping up dead bees. Oh, some are dead. You can hear my broom. The summer bees, as they die, fly out of the hive, gather on the floor. So when I first walk in here, there's a carpet of dead bees, which is alarming when you start keeping bees and overwinter them. But it's not anything to worry about. I've got 12 hives in here, and it's just a little bit crazy. I don't want to do anything to excite the bees. I'm watching them and they're already excited. I think I have to stop this and take a picture. I have some encouraging things to post. I'll be right back. I'm back. My bees are active. So much for that low metabolic state. Some people say that bees won't fly below 57 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hogwash. I think that they just study lower 48 bees and don't come up to the subarctic. Who does come up to the subarctic after all? I'm outside. I had to go back in and get a bunch of sugar cake I made, or sugar brick, depending on what you want to call it. I made it the other night. I'm gonna open the hives and put some in so they can feed off of it. They may have gone through all that they put up for stores from the 2-to-1 sugar water mixture I made for them at the end of the season. I'm in the Arctic entryway of my bee barn. Now there's not a lot of oxygen in here, and so I get lightheaded and have to go outside and breathe a bit. The reason there's not much oxygen is because the bees go into a state of hypoxia, which also helps them lower the metabolism and promotes the perseverance, maintenance of a juvenile growth hormone that helps them last through the winter. This is along with the vitellogenin, which I might be saying wrong, but that's fine, that they have, which is kind of a fatty inner layer that helps them survive up to 10 months, whereas the typical summer bee only lasts about 6 weeks. So with bees flying around, I always say a wee, but it's I. And I'm looking at my hives, trying to figure out which one to open first. I brought with me my hive tool, a notebook. It's getting a little hard to breathe because it's easier to write with pencil as I do this. I can write it real quick and then enter it into my tracking program later. And I'll just record some observations, whether or not the hive is still alive, and if I put sugar cake in it, what's going on. I have a new hive, my favorite one. I painted it in a pattern that I got off of a Polish jacket I have. The bees are all at the entrance, literally. Ideally, they'd be in a cluster. That's not the case. I'm trying to think about whether or not I want to take one for the team below the belt or above the belt, because I'm sure I'm going to get stung. They don't think they know me right now. Bees know our faces and our smells and such. They get used to us. However, my bees have been hived up since late October, mid to late October. I don't know if bees forget, but I'm certainly not someone they want opening their hive right now. I have wool blankets on top of the hives. Part of that is to absorb moisture. Part of that is to contain the bees when they do come out. Because it's dark in here for them, they're not going to find their way back in.
But if they fly out and they hit a blanket, I also have some pieces of wood in front of some of the hives, then they can find their way back in. I'm looking at two big hives, which means they're each one deep box with 10 frames in them and bees. And I have a shelving unit in here that holds 400 pounds, which is good because each of these hives is supposed to be about 100 pounds. With stores in them. I had a problem at the end of the season. We have voles up here. They're not mice, but they're close. I have not ever had voles before in my hives and didn't think to look for them. When I was strapping my hives down to move them into the barn, I found a little nest. An unwelcome sight. A little nest on top of one of my hives. So that means the voles had been in the hives. When it's cold and there's no food, who wouldn't want to eat their way through a beehive? I'm not sure how much of the stores these hives had going in. They didn't feel like 100 pounds to me. It felt more like 50, but I hope that the voles didn't eat that much. I'm gonna go ahead and open one of these hives. I'm checking for signs of life, but actually I think on every hive that I'm looking at, and there's 12, I see signs of life. I see them moving around the outside, but also in the opening. I did do tests a few days ago. The bees on the floor, the dead bees, I took a bunch of samples and tested for Nosema. I did not find any mites, which leads me to believe I need to take some more samples. One of my new hives, it has a number on it. Let me see, because when I take my notes, I need to record the number. Can't find the number. One of my new hives has fecal matter in the front, which means the bees have been defecating. We don't want that. That could be just dysentery, or it could be from the Nosema virus. I see one. I see two hives with fecal matter on the outside, which leads me to believe that those are the ones with Nosema. Because I tested before I made this sugar brick, I put some Nosevit in the mixture, which is to help strengthen the bees and help them repair the damage that the Nosema virus does inside their guts. Nosema will absolutely wipe out all your colonies. It's just horrible. So I'll have to sterilize the hives that have the fecal matter come spring, because bees are immaculate creatures. So they will clean up any waste inside the hive, which is how the virus is transmitted. It comes out as fecal matter. The bees move it around, take it outside the hive. They ingest some more of that fecal matter, and then they've got the virus as well. You can hear some bees buzzing, I think. So it's about time for me to stop talking and go into one of these hives. I am going to set my recorder on the nuke that has the fecal matter in the front. And I don't want to excite them. Easier said than done. I just want them to stay calm, cool, and non-threatened. So I'm taking the little blanket off the top two hives, which good for me, but difficult for me. I have sealed these hives up with aluminum tape. And if you've ever listened to any of my podcasts before, you know how I have a bit of a fetish for aluminum tape, because it will stick through anything. It's very strong, it's waterproof, temperature proof. I buy the kind that plumbers use. Since this hive is sealed shut, I'll have to break the seal and then reseal it. So I've got two hives in front of me, number 13 and number 5. Number 5 has some bees hanging out in front. Number 13 doesn't, so I'm going to move my phone, which is how I'm making this podcast, on top of number 5 and go into number 13 first. I don't see any reason to disrupt number 5, but number 13 doesn't show a lot going on inside the front, and so I'm going to break that seal, which I don't want to do, but I'm going to do anyways. The reason I sealed them is because sometimes there's a little gap in between the lid and the box for whatever reason, and they'll get out. And when you're moving the bees, you don't want them to be getting out. You want them to stay put. So I'm using my hive tool to cut into this aluminum tape, and I'm going to try to strip it back and keep it intact. What this is going to do is it's going to excite the bees. Try not to move the hive. And I just want to open it up very slowly, very gently, and see if anyone's moving in there. They should be in the top of the hive by now, because it is mid-January. Whether or not they've eaten through all the stores or not remains to be seen. So the hive next to 13 right now, number 5, has now got a giant cluster of bees in front trying to figure out what I'm doing. They're not in a defensive position, but I am having to move my arms as I open hive number 13. Number 5's checking me out, figure out what's going on. Ideally, they have sealed this hive with propolis. Oh, I can hear them buzzing right now. I'm cracking it open.
doesn't want to open. Always a problem when it doesn't want to do what one wants it to do. I've got to excite the bees a little more by lifting the hive. It feels real light to me. And moving it over because I have tape all around it. So I have to take some more tape off. More of the seal. I remember sealing it in the fall. Boy, they were angry. Trying to get out of every little nook and cranny so they could sting me. Alright. I want to keep this intact. Like I said, there should be some propolis sealing this lid to the box. That would keep out the drafts. I'm going to very gently lift this lid up. The hive is on an uneven surface now that I shifted it. Bees are coming out of number 5. I'm lifting number 13. Come on. I have the wrong gloves on. I should have my bee gloves on. I came out here with some of those little tiny knit gloves that you can get for $1 during the winter. I wear those a lot up here in Alaska. Oh, here comes the heater. And I'm due for an oxygen break, but I'm too into this, so I've got to get into this hive. It's actually hive 15, not 13. A couple of bees flew out, so I want to protect my hands. I am not one of those super brave beekeepers that inspects their hives in a tank top, shorts, and no gloves. But I'm not one of the scaredy cat beekeepers that uses an entire suit. Right now I actually have a tank top on, and over that a down jacket, and over that my bee jacket, because it's got a hood, keeps them from stinging my face, which always hurts like hell. I got stung in the face for the first time last year. So, bee gloves. Mine are supposed to be supple and bendy, and they're hard because of the moisture that's gotten into the leather. I don't use the white gloves. I order mine from Duluth Trading. They're brown. I think they're called gauntlet gloves. They fit my hands better. They're small. They're not as large as the white gloves. Even the small white gloves are too big. I've broke the seal a little more. I want to open up 15. I also want to be ready. So I'm grabbing a piece of sugar brick, which is a piece of hard sugar. I used about, 4 cups and 1/2 teaspoon of water. Mix it up, it's like sand. And then it hardens real quick. This hive doesn't want to open. I'm gonna use my hive tool. But there's no bees coming at me. Oh my gosh, come on. The more I have to move things. Oh, beautiful. Oh, juicy. They're in a cluster in the top. I'm gonna slide that. I'm gonna close it first, right? If I'm smart. I'm gonna break this sugar cake and I'm gonna slide it right in here. I made it to the size so it would fit into the lid. And because people won't believe me and that my bees are doing so well, I gotta take a picture. And that might mess up the recording. We'll see. Since this hive is nice and big, I'm gonna put in more sugar cake, slide it in, because they've already started getting into it. And put it right where it will allow the lid to close. Hooray, did it. Did it. I'm gonna seal this back up with this tape because I want them to maintain the warmth that they have in there. I'm gonna let these bees, take these bees outside in March, which is way too early in a subarctic climate. It's gonna be too cold for them. But I built a hive pod last year on our deck, and it's in the direct sun. It gets a lot of light, and that sun warms it up real well. And I forgot my tape. That way the bees can get out and do cleansing strikes. Right now, they're holding their feces for months and months and months. Can you imagine how miserable that would be? I'll take them out in March, put them in the hive pod, sprinkle some wood ash on the snow in front so they can see where they're going so they don't get snow blindness. When the temperature gets warm enough, I open up the front doors of the hive pod and they are able to fly outside, do their business, create a bit of a shit storm, and then go back in the hive. All right, on my notebook, I'm gonna write that hive 15 is doing great. Healthy, active, so much for that low metabolism. So hive 15 is good. Large colony, gave sugar cake, that's what I'm writing. Clusters at the top. I have a gigantic old people type of thermometer. It looks like a big clock. And it says actually 41 degrees. My thermostat thermometer says it's only 38. So somewhere in between there. Regardless, it's warm enough for them to move around. So I'm going to stop this podcast now and go into the other hives, add some sugar brick, get a little oxygen break, and get back at it to make sure the bees make it next couple months. Please think about Ukraine and send your thoughts, prayers, whatever your method is. They're amazing people. The genocide that's being committed against them right now is absolutely deplorable. I think about them every day. And I also, along with thinking about them, wonder what's happened to the Ukrainian beekeepers who have a very long tradition of beekeeping. I don't imagine there's many bees left, unfortunately. But as you're enjoying your winter, of course, think about those who are less fortunate. Do what you can to be compassionate. Take care of yourselves and take care of your bees. And until the next podcast, see you later. This podcast is copyrighted and all rights reserved. If you want to hear more about us or learn more about Happy Creek Farm, a little farm that's north of Fairbanks, Alaska, we have a website that's not up to date at www.happycreekfarmalaska.com. We have an Instagram page that I keep up regularly under Happy Creek Farm. We have a Twitter account under Happy Creek Farm. Did I say we have a Facebook? We have a Facebook page as well. You're welcome to make comments as long as they're constructive. And look at pictures of the things that I'm doing here. Take care. Bye.